Welcome to Comics.
Episode 214. This week, we talk about conventions. Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes. See what we're reading next. Send us a message. Or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics. And now,
the cast begins. I was like, okay, the Eisner Award nominations came out. That's a thing people might care about, you know? Except then later in the day, I was in the bathroom, you know, doing bathroom things, playing Hearthstone.
Is that what you were doing when we played earlier?
No. I was on the bus home when we played earlier. Okay. No, if I ever challenge you at around 1:30 or 2 o'clock, that's where I am. The thing with the bathrooms at my work is there's a gap in the stall, like, door and the stall wall, big enough for you to see out. So my, like, assistant, like, associate director in my company came in, peed, didn't wash his hands at all, and then left. And I'm like, oh.
Ew.
I shake your hand. Like, after every meeting, he offers his hand. And now, after the next meeting, I'm gonna be like, no, bro. No. It's going to be super awkward.
Yep. There's one guy who works in the software development team that I do documentation for. And he, he never washes his hands. And he's not like, he's not even like sneaky about it. Like, if you're peeing in there next to him, he just will leave after he pees.
Ew.
Like, I'm never touching your keyboard or your hands.
And it's like, the other thing is, most of the time when I'm in the bathroom, I work on a university campus, so I'm in random bathrooms at different times and whatever. So it emboldens me a little bit when I see somebody not wash their hands as they're walking out. I say, hey, dude, I think you forgot to wash your hands. I try to do a little bit of public shaming. I consider it to be done for the greater good. Except I couldn't exactly do that to my associate director.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe next time.
I've seen women walk out without, like, washing their hands, but I've never seen anyone I know do it.
I think there's more of a, like, cleanliness-shaming thing going on in women's restrooms than in dudes.
Well, I think also, like, there's, like, a general, like, you know, if you're not sitting down, you're cool, right? Like, but ladies have to sit either way.
Well, and there's this thing, there's so many guys who are like, no, dude, it's actually like, if you don't touch anything, it's not that unsanitary, like, you don't have to wash your hands.
But then, like, I don't want to be shaking someone's dick hand.
Yes, right? that is exactly what I was going to say. Like, the other thing that really bugs me in the bathroom is when people use that, like, toilet seat paper cover thing and then just leave it there, like, great, thanks, now I have to clean up your butt paper. Like, I just don't want to go fucking near it, handle your shit, like... Ugh, it's the fucking worst. Anyway, the Eisners came out, and a bunch of stuff that we read is nominated, and there's something, we have a listener request we're going to do soonish. We have a certain listener who puts in lots of requests, and he's suggested that we read Southern Bastards by Jason Aaron and Jason Latour, which is an Image comic that is up for best continuing series for an Eisner, so we'll do that. But also, like, guys, in case you don't know, we're not reading the Multiversity this week.
Because the issue hasn't come out still.
The last issue still hasn't come out. But Multiversity and Grant Morrison are up for like 3 or 4 Eisners. So it's got to be decent, I hope.
Well, I read the first issue and the second issue. And they were actually pretty cool.
Okay.
The second issue has Dr. Fate as like a treasure hunter adventurer guy. If I recall correctly. I could be totally wrong. Anyways.
Yeah. So that's the thing. And then I was really happy to see Dave Stewart up for Best Colorist again, because he's amazing. He does, like, Abe Sapien, BPRD, Lobster Johnson, all that good stuff over there at Dark Horse. Yeah, I don't know. You can. I'm sure you can look it up. Just look at 2015 Eisner Award nominations. If there's anything on there that we haven't read for the show, odds are it's probably good. That's another thing you can pick up and read. I know we like to tell people, like, we read some of the best comics, and we're like, we tell you, okay, if you want to start reading this comic, or, like, if you want to start reading Black Widow, then these are the three Black Widow comics to try and see what your flavor is, and then go from there. But seriously, like, all this stuff on this list for 2015 Eisners, yeah, these are good comics. Yeah, Seconds is on here. What else is on here? No, I'm not finding anything. Wow, that's shitty.
You know, I was looking at your post on Reddit about our Seconds episode, and people seem to not like the low score we gave it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You know what? I still stand by it. I was actually thinking about Seconds, like, yesterday. And I was just like, well, like, it just popped into my head, and I was disappointed all over again.
Well, then, in fairness, on Reddit, people also said that we gave that we gave X's Avengers and X-Men way too high of a rating. We gave it, like, 2.3, and they were like, no, that should be a 1, bro.
Well, no, somebody else in the thread actually said, no, 2.5 is about right.
Yeah, it's an average comic.
Because the person who kind of, like, agreed with us said something along the lines of, the comic did what it set out to do.
Yeah. And that's the thing with a huge event comic like that. If you get in there, get it done, and get out, and you can do it relatively clean, then that's a good, normal event comic. That's all that was.
Yep.
So here's a question for you guys, because I actually think this is, like, a really interesting conversation. But what's your methodology on rating? Like, how do you choose it?
I kind of just go with my heart.
The heart of the cards? The heart of the comic?
But seriously, like, the way I do it is more like, I don't know. It's really subjective. I don't really have a criteria.
Same here. Like, I will not only judge it based on what I thought after reading it, but, like, how I'm feeling in the moment that we have discussed it.
Yeah, like, definitely.
I don't view my ratings to be, like, definitive, and they might change if I reread the comic, like, a week later, right?
Not etched in stone.
Yeah, it's kind of like just how I feel about it right then. I guess what I'm saying is maybe my ratings are meaningless, but they're meaningful to me.
Well, I mean, this whole thing is our opinion. We're not, like, some authority on comics.
Yeah, I don't have, like, some objective list of criteria that I go down and check plus and minus. For me, if it's a 2.5, it's a completely unremarkable comic in every way. So it's not positive in any way, and it's not shit-onable in any way. Like,
yes.
Spawn, mm-hmm. Spawn is an entirely remarkable comic in just how bad it is. We gave Spawn a unanimous 0, I think, or maybe a 0.3 between the three of us.
Yeah, that was...
If you want to hear us just wail on a comic, you can go listen to that. But just if it's completely unremarkable as bad or good, it's a 2.5. It's just totally average. I could pick it up and read it and not hate my life, and I could pick it up and read it and not feel like, oh, this was great. I should read this again. Or even like I'm glad I bought this. For me, like, and the higher up I go is sort of the more willing I am to recommend it to other people.
Yeah, see, that's kind of how I go off it, too. That plays a large part in my rating, my willingness to recommend it to another person. Because, I mean, that's kind of what we're trying to do with the show now is talk about, like, starting points. Like, if certain things are a good starting point for a reader. I mean, that plays into it, at least.
Yeah. And, well, and not even just good starting point. Like, that is a good criteria. But for me, it's also, like, I'm pretty sure, in the time that we've read this, my favorite comic that we've read, and the one that I would give the absolute highest rating, would be Boxers and Saints. I think that is a phenomenal comic start to finish. It doesn't have the most miraculous art. It doesn't have the most... I don't know. But it has something to it that makes it great. It has universal appeal. It's not superheroes. That's a barrier. Like, there's no barrier in that comic. It's just a really, really well-done tragedy. And that's just... It's... I can recommend that to anybody. I can give that to my parents to read. My parents haven't read a comic book in 50 years, if they ever have. Like... And I'll give it to them, and I think that they would genuinely enjoy it, or at least have an appreciation for the craft that went into it. But also, on the flip side, for my wife, who hardly ever reads comics, if she wasn't so arachnophobic, I would give her Kraven's Last Hunt, the Spider-Man comic by J.M. DeMatteis, because that comic, that's the best Cape comic we've ever read, I would say. And that's total five. Just... It's a phenomenal comic in every single way. That literally, art, everything fits, everything works, everything is perfect. And kind of the less perfect it gets towards the more average, the further down it goes. And it, like, going under 2.5, I would say the more caveats I would have to recommending it. So, like, if it was, I don't know, if it was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comic, but it wasn't really that good, I would recommend it to my friends who are super into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but not really anybody else. But I would still recommend it. That'd be like a 1.5 or a 2. Anything below 1.5 is just shit. Don't read it.
Yeah, that's like when you want to say, if you want to read something so bad, like, just to know what bad is.
Yeah.
That's what you're giving someone.
And you can give it pity points too. Like, this is total crap, but the art wasn't bad, so 1.
Well, like, okay, so for example, I'm reading Garth Ennis's run on
Punisher
Max. But I finished all the Garth Ennis issues, and now I'm on to some issues taken over by some other writers. I don't remember who they are off the top of my head. And the quality of the comic has gone down a little bit, but I feel like I'm so invested in the comic because it's a continuous run that I want to finish it. It's only like 75 issues or something like that. But it's not the towards the end it's not as good. So
yeah. And that's the thing. I don't think
but we would could I recommend ever write. The run as a whole? Yeah, I definitely would recommend the whole Punisher Max run.
If you have the time and the energy.
Yeah. I'm like plowing through it. It's like a really good read. But anyways.
Yeah, but I think that's something that's impossible for us to break into our ratings too for most comics is the sustainability of the run. Like, I think when we read The Boys, that was like super, I think that was like fifth or sixth episode we ever recorded was The Boys.
Yeah, it was really early.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I ended up reading like 8 trades of that run. And I gotta say, It didn't hold up as good. It had ups and downs, just like every other huge run does.
Yeah,
and there's very few comics that we rate in depth like that, and that's okay, you know.
Yeah,
that's not what we're here for. We're here to give you that starting point.
And we try to read like a trade at a time.
Yeah.
And so I think that usually, I think a lot of casual comic book readers. That's how they, I don't want to say casual, that seems kind of, it has kind of negative connotations.
You nowadays. And I are getting into the casual realm lately.
I mean, I'm casual. I read one a week for a podcast and otherwise, like, don't have time for much else.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I try to read, like, other, like, I'm reading Punisher on the side now. But, you know, trades are a nice bite-sized package to consume comics, you know?
Yeah.
You can get it in a single volume, and you can usually read it in like an hour or two, depending on how quickly you read a comic.
I'd say the only caveat is we've read 3 trades of Walt Simonson's Thor and given all 3 of them 5s, so go ahead and just go out and buy that entire run and have a good life.
Yeah, that's a yeah. safe bet.
That whole thing's just fucking great.
I mean, there are exceptions to the rule. Right?
Yeah,
like the Walt Simonson Thor. But anyways.
And Chris Claremont X-Men, that's a good run too.
Yeah.
That's a
but it has some, run. That, even that, the Chris Claremont, I think has some stinkers in it.
Yeah, like Isn't Chris Claremont the one who ended up putting Jean Grey and an egg on the bottom of the ocean?
I don't remember, but that was in Avengers. It wasn't in.
Oh, that's X-Men. Right. That's right. That's right.
So, anyways, we're not talking about multiversity this week.
No.
What are we talking about, Andy?
Well, this last weekend, David and I went to Star Wars Celebration down in Anaheim, Celebration 7. And, you know, for the longest time, I only ever went to conventions with fellow high nerds, I will say. Fellow nerds of the same level or higher as myself, David, and Jen. But this convention, I went with my wife, who is a mid-level nerd, I would say. And
I think I would say that your wife is an emerging nerd.
Yes, she's definitely. She was not nerdy when she married me, and now she is the biggest Trekkie you've ever seen. Yeah. And I love her to death. She's definitely an emerging nerd. And going to Celebration, going to conventions, is not something she would have ever done before meeting me, but she was really, really excited for it. And we also, for one day, went with David's son and mother. I don't know your mother's level of nerdiness. I would say middle.
Something that I should clarify with my mom. So, like, she's my mom cool. raised me. She's cool. She raised me by herself, and she worked really hard when I was a kid and didn't, it's like she didn't have any fun for herself. And now that she's a grandma and she has a lot more free time and disposable income, she is kind of making up for lost time and doing fun stuff. And so she kind of has like a bucket list. And one of the things on her bucket list was to go to San Diego Comic-Con just because she wants to know what the deal is with that. So originally my wife and my daughter were also going to go with us to Star Wars Celebration, but, my wife and daughter were not able to go. So my mom, I invited her to take the other 4-day pass I had, because I bought one for myself, one for my wife. And so my mom came. Like your wife, Andy, she wanted to know what the dealio was with these conventions.
What the hell happens at these things, and why the hell does Andy want to go to one every 3 months?
Yeah. I think that's an apt description.
Yeah. That was definitely my wife's thing, was like, what the hell happens here? Because last year we went to Big Wow, which was San Jose's local comic book convention, which next year is going to become Silicon Valley Comic Con.
Is it transforming into that, or are they going to be their own?
So Stan Lee and Steve Wozniak got the great idea, hey, you know what would be great to do in San Jose? A comic book convention. And then they fucking Googled it and found out there already was one. So they're going to roll Big Wow into Silicon Valley Comic Con.
Okay, that wasn't clear to me. But okay, yeah. Sorry, that was a
so
little
bit. So basically
sorry.
Those two guys who were like, hey, we've got the money and resources to make this happen, and then Googled
it. Have you seen the video, the little promo video?
No, I haven't.
That's really, like, it's really cheesy.
But I will say, Big Wow last year wasn't phenomenal, but the floor was decent. There was an artist area. There's a gaming area. There were some panels. The panels were really bad. It's not Big Wow's defining feature, for sure. But it was a really good starting place. And so I went there with my wife, and she got to see people in cosplay, and she really enjoyed that, and she really enjoyed walking around the room and seeing all the stuff that was, like, for sale and what was going on. And definitely she enjoyed going and checking out the artists, watching them do their work, kind of talking to them, flipping through comic book, flipping through artist, like, sketchbooks and seeing their work. And that's something I think a lot of people, if you're even tangentially interested in comics, should do, is go to your local. Odds are you have one within a 2-hour drive, hopefully, unless you live in, like, Wyoming or Miami. There's probably not one that close. But try and find a good local comic book convention and go and just see who's there and what's going on. There's a lot of really big ones, and you're going to hear all this awesome stuff that happens at these bigger comic cons, but that's a great place to start because it's you can kind of go and see what you're interested in. Like, if you go and you really like artists, then you know that if you want to go again to a bigger convention, find one that's known for its artists. Or cosplay, find one that's known for cosplay, and such and so forth. Or if you're really into, like, there's a specific niche that you're super into, like the Star Wars stuff, then go to Star Wars Celebration. Or if you're like me and David, try to go to everything all the time.
Yep.
Yeah. So, that was fun. But then taking her to Star Wars Celebration, it was just complete sensory overload because
yeah,
Big Wow has attendance of like, I don't know, probably 15,000 over the course of 3 days. And Star Wars Celebration has like 90 or 100. It's a whole order of larger.
It was sold out like pretty much every day, except maybe Thursday wasn't sold out.
Yeah, I think Thursday wasn't sold out, but that'd be the only day.
Yeah.
But
by the end of Friday, there was signs on the doors that said, all tickets are sold.
So that, for my wife, was a super overwhelming thing. There were tons and tons of people, and it's so interesting to see a new person go over all the different waves of anxiety that happen when you go to a comic convention. There's, of course, the FOMO, the fear of missing out. Like, if there's two panels at the same time and you can only pick one, or there's this cool thing to do on the floor and you really want to go do it right now, but look at that thing and that thing and that thing and that thing. Like, it's this total sensory overload, and it's really hard to pick your battles because you're only there for 4 days.
No, I totally agree with you. I get the FOMO feeling when I go, because there were times over this weekend where I had to make a choice between which panels I wanted to go to. Or make it to a signing or something like that. And, you know, that's fine. I didn't feel like, in retrospect, I feel like I made the right choices about which ones I ultimately went to.
Yeah, I have a little bit of regret this last weekend at not going to the Japanese vegetable carving panel.
Well, at least you got to see the booth.
That's true. I got to see the booth, and I got to instead go with my wife into the Rebels panel. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I like that. I thought that panel was great. I liked that one a lot.
So, okay, we talk about panels and walking around all this kind of stuff. What actually happens at a convention? There's usually a show floor, which consists of vendors, exhibits, and an artist area, usually. There are panels, and then there's kind of the tertiary things, I'll say, that happen at a convention and around a convention, but aren't necessarily directly related all the time. So you get vendors, you get people selling stuff. So like at Star Wars Celebration, that means collector vendors, right? So there'll be collectors and collectible shops that will be there with action figures and Lego minifigs and all these different things. And it's a great place to go and try and find the thing that you can't ever find online or at a local shop. You can go and you can try to find it at a convention. And that's something a lot of people do, is they'll go for the hunt. Because you'll see on eBay this one comic from this run that you're collecting. It's stupid expensive, but if you find it at a convention, you can find it, you can haggle, you can get it from a guy at a decent price, and you can go home. And that's like the flea market kind of attitude of a convention, I would say, like going and looking for the treasure, the hunt.
Well, that's something that I did when we were at Star Wars, when we were at Celebration. I was looking for the Kotobukiya Cloud City Boba Fett figure. And when I did make it to the Kotobukiya booth, they were sold out of Boba Fett. I got Vader and Stormtroopers like I wanted, but I had seen the figure, the Boba Fett, at other booths, right? And so Saturday, I thought, I found one booth that had three, and they were selling them for $70 each. I think the price was like 50 or 45.
The retail.
That was retail price. And I thought, okay, this booth has three, marked down to 70. What I'll do is I'll wait till tomorrow, go there like first thing, and try to talk them down to 60. So I went the next morning, went to the booth, and they were gone. They had all sold out on Saturday at some time after I left. So I thought, well, shit. Now I'm going to have to, like, hunt. So I went to, like, every single booth of, like, a collector shop that was selling them. And I found one. And when I originally asked him how much he was selling it, because he didn't have a price tag on it, he said $100. And I was like, you know what? I was like, that's too much. So I started to walk away. And he says, wait, wait. He's like, I can do 80. And I was still like, you know, I was like, let me think about it. And I come back. And I walked around some more, and I just couldn't find one, and I just didn't buy it for 80 because that was more than I wanted to pay. And so in that regard, the hunt did not succeed, right?
Mm-hmm.
But one of my other goals for the weekend was to find Lego minifigs, because my son really likes Legos. I really like Legos. So I wanted to get some Star Wars minifigs. Because sometimes you don't, like, you have to buy a big set to get, like, a certain guy.
Yeah, like, so, if you want a Hera from Rebels, if you want a Hera minifig, you have to buy the Ghost Lego set, which is, like, 50 or 60 bucks.
Right. But, so, there were lots of booths selling Lego minifigs. But the prices were astronomical.
Dengar was like, $20.
I'm talking Dengar. Like, $5 to $8 for a single Stormtrooper. Or something like that. And I was like, man, I was like really close to pulling the trigger and buying some of these little guys. Until Andy and I found the Goodwill booth, okay? And this is Goodwill, the charity organization. They had a booth at Star Wars Celebration. And it heavily featured Legos. And so we were talking to the guy, because they had some, you know, they had some figures in their little display case that were, you know, they weren't cheap, but they were cheaper than the other vendors. And so we were talking to the guys behind the counter, and they said, oh, we have this huge bin of minifigures that you can go through. And so for 25 bucks, you get a bag, this little baggie. It's like a sandwich bag type of thing. And you get 10 minutes to go through the bin, and whatever you've just filled the bag up. Doesn't even have to close it. You can fill it up to, like, spilling out of it. And man, Andy and I did it once each over the weekend. We found a lot of great stuff in this bin. So for 25 bucks, I got a Captain America with his shield, like, complete Captain America figure, sick. Complete Iron Man. I found a Dengar, who's a bounty hunter from Star Wars, who at another booth, the exact same figure, was $20.
The exact same one.
And this is an example of when hunting really paid off.
You also found me a Cad Bane and an Aayla Secura Leku. Just
right,
the Leku from
Opera. So we found, so the Goodwill booth had an Aayla Secura figure in their display case without the head tails. But we found the head tails in the big, huge bin. So I ended up getting the head tails in my little baggie, and then we got the figure. So Andy got an Aayla Secura.
And so that's one of those times where, like, you might not have been hunting for that, but going and checking out this booth and seeing what they did, it was a fun thing to do, and you totally were rewarded for it. And that's not something that, like, Goodwill's going to do any day of the week. And that's probably something that most, like, collector shops wouldn't do normally. But for the convention, they'll do it special because they know they can get people in there, and it's fun. And it also drums up good business and good association. Like, that's an awesome thing that you really only will be able to find at a convention.
Well, and then, like, I felt good about spending my money in the Goodwill booth,
yeah,
instead of another, like, random one, because I know that the money is going to a good cause, you know?
Yeah. And then the other thing, so that's the vendor stuff. The other thing you'll find on the show floor at a convention will be exhibitor booths, which are slightly different. They'll usually be either a company just there kind of showing something off, or it'll be a fan group there showing something off. So at Big Wow, per se, there is a Ghostbusters fan group, and they bring the Ghostbusters, what is the name of their car? The Ecto-1. They have a replica Ecto-1 that they roll into the convention floor. And you can take pictures with it, you can sit in it for photo ops, there's all kinds of stuff. And they're just kind of there hanging out, because they're going to have a good time, and they get to show off all the awesome things that they do. And that also balls in with, like, cosplay groups like the 501st, Mandalorian Mercs, individual cosplayers like, who comes to Big Wow? Valerie Perez comes to Big Wow, PG Vegas comes to Big Wow, there's a couple other ones, and Anthony Viziano comes to Big Wow, he's the awesome, if you've ever seen an awesome, awesome, dead-on Joker cosplay, that's probably Anthony. So that's the other kind of fun stuff you can do. And that's neat, because then you can go in, get pictures, and those people are also just there having a good time. And they're really good for bringing on good vibes at a convention. So that's kind of what you do on the floor. And actually, the floor is where I like to be most times during a convention, because I like digging around shops. I like trying to find something cool, something cheap. And you know, you can probably buy most of that stuff on Amazon for, like, the same price, but if you go to a convention and you find two or three things that you kind of want from a vendor, maybe pick up one more and you can haggle and get a really good deal, and it's fun to do that. Because you could, like, it's just like going to a flea market, except everything there is something you want.
Yeah.
And it's not that 80% of it's crap. Everything there is probably something you want. Plus, I'm really into cosplay. I really love seeing awesome costumes and people being excited about certain characters. And that's really fun for me to do. I really like spending a ton of time on the floor.
So I have a question. I've never been to a con. Is it, it's appropriate to haggle? I didn't know that. Like,
oh,
tell
yeah.
me more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's oh, totally yeah. appropriate
Is this
to
normal?
Yeah, because a lot of the vendors are just, like, dudes. It's like, oftentimes it's like comic book shops. Or little, like, hobby shops that have stuff. And the reason why it's okay to haggle with them is because they have to haul all that stuff from somewhere. Okay? Sometimes, if you go to a big con like San Diego, sometimes they haul that stuff a long distance, like Mile High Comics.
They haul from Denver to San Diego.
Yeah. And they want to sell as much of it as possible. That's why Sunday is often considered to be the best day to buy of a con. Well, whatever the last day of the con is. Because a lot of times they are trying to sell stuff so they don't have to carry it back. And so it's totally appropriate to haggle.
Interesting.
And oftentimes what they end up hauling to the convention is stuff that they can't sell back home. If they sell it easy home, there's no reason for them to haul it out to a convention. So if it's still there on Sunday, most of those vendors know if they have to take it home, it's not going to sell. They're going to take it home, and it's going to sit on a shelf until you take it to the next convention. Hopefully somebody at the next town on your convention tour will be able to buy it. So at that point, if it's the last day of the convention, they want to get rid of it. You want to pay less because it's something nobody else really wants at that point. So it's totally acceptable to do that haggling because you both understand kind of where things are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, for example, Think Geek was there. And you don't hand... Think Geek couldn't really haggle, but they had almost everything at their booth was on sale. But also, almost everything at their booth was, like, the Star Wars-y stuff that you know doesn't sell very well. Like, they didn't bring the Star Wars watches. They brought the R2-D2 measuring cup set.
Yeah.
Like, all right. And it was $10 off. It was way cheaper than I've ever seen it on their website. So... they kind of pre-haggle. They're like, all right, we know this crap doesn't sell. We're going to bring a couple boxes of it and sell it for cheap. And it's Star Wars Celebration, so maybe we can sell it to some Star Wars nerds. It'll overlap. And that's fair, too. That's something that really happens often with the bigger vendors, usually.
Yeah, and because, like, it works well for the vendors because if you're a, you know, a fan and you've been on the fence about some product, buying it online, and here it is in front of you at a good price, you're probably going to give in and get it, you know? Mm-hmm. That's certainly how I am.
Yeah.
I bought a lot of stuff.
Well, yeah, and the other side of that is the exclusive. So if they can't really pull a sale because they make a certain kind of collectible that people would be super pissed, like Kotobukiya, if you bought 5 sets of Stormtroopers because you wanted 10 Stormtroopers in your display, and then you go to Star Wars Celebration, you see them for $10 cheaper, you're going to be pissed. Plus, they're collectible, there's a certain value that has to be kept up. So what they will do instead is they'll have an exclusive. So Kotobukiya will produce a run of figures that are only for sale at that certain show, which is what I picked up at Kotobukiya. Mm-hmm. But the side effect of that is I went to Kotobukiya to go look at those, and David came with me, and David saw something else awesome, so he bought it too.
Yeah, I mean, I have never bought, like, statues, really, and the Kotobukiya ones are awesome and very reasonably priced.
Yeah.
And so I finally bought them. I ended up buying Vader and a pair of Stormtroopers, and they look awesome.
Oh, man. In 2 months, I'm getting my nice Gaming Heads $400 Liara statue, and I can't wait. It's going to be so baller. It's like 2 feet tall. I haven't told my wife I'm getting it yet. But I've already paid for it, so it's coming one way or another. Yeah. So that's kind of what you do on the floor. panels are a whole other kind of thing. And actually, I think that Star Wars Celebration did a really good job of panels. So with these, you'll get a ton of different topics. You can get collectors talking about collecting and how to collect and finding things. You'll get fan communities doing their panels. So for example, at Star Wars Celebration, the Mandalorian mercs, which are people that cosplay as like Boba Fett, Jango, and customized versions of those types of characters, those Mandalorians, they had a panel talking about how they made their armor, what their standards were, how to become a Mandalorian merc, where you can find help, where you can find resources. So if you were ever interested in cosplaying or costuming as a Mandalorian, you go to this panel and you get all the information you could possibly want. You could have gotten it from a panel, but it's nice to hear it from a person. And then if you have a question, you can just ask it right there. And these weren't just people who were part of the Mandalorian mercs. They were like founders. So authoritative, definitive sources of information. Not some dude on a forum. So that was kind of neat. Plus you get the weird stuff, like the vegetable carving. But for my money, if I'm going to take the time to go to a panel, it's either got to be something weird, like that vegetable carving that you're only ever going to see on YouTube and never in real life ever again, or it's got to be something involving creators, which I think is really awesome. So, like at Star Wars Celebration, I'm just going to keep using it as an example because it's what we just came from. My wife and I watched Star Wars Rebels. Season 1 was done. Season 2 is coming up. So there's panels talking about conceptualizing the show, backgrounds of characters, how they came up with ideas, how they came up with look and feel and an art style. And it's really neat to hear the creators talk about the creative process of making these things and getting it straight from... It's like getting that behind-the-scenes commentary that you wouldn't get any other way. And I really, really enjoy going to those as well.
Totally.
Cool.
Boom. So, Jen, you've never gone to a convention at all?
No, it's just always been, like, terribly inconvenient or costs too much or just, like, not the right timing.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the thing. They are getting way more popular and way more expensive as us nerds take over the world. Yeah. I would say, Jen, you should probably go to Fanime.
I do plan to go to Fanime.
Good.
We'll probably drag my boyfriend, and if he can't go, I might just go for one day alone.
Well, because if you go on Saturday, I will go with you.
Okay. I mean, he and I both watch anime, so, like, I know he'll be interested in going. And I've been meaning to go to that for years, because it's literally, like, 3 miles from my house.
Yeah.
So, it's really not that much of a stretch for me to get over there. Yeah, I could walk.
Yeah, it'd be a long walk.
Yeah, but it's... So that's not a travel expense that's holding me back. That was just like... I think for the past few years, every time it's come up, I've been camping that weekend or something. I don't know. It's been weird. But I do intend to go sometime. And I do want to see, like, all the weird cosplayers. The one regret I have about not attending a con... is I don't think Manfei is around anymore, because he was popular, like, a decade ago. And yeah. Although I don't really want to see him in real life, I got respect for that dude.
Yeah. There's Manslave Leias. That's a thing now. You might see one of those.
Oh, we saw so many of those. Yeah, this weekend.
I feel like Manfei was, like, the progenitor of... Yeah. Man cosplay.
Yeah, and Manfei was its own thing for a little while. It was pretty sick. But yeah, so is that mostly what you'd be looking for doing? Because anime has some of the best cosplay out there, because some of those costumes and hair are fucking ridiculous. So anime has a really awesome cosplay community.
Yeah, it seems like it'd be really cool. I'm also interested in the Artist Alley. I'm curious, too, because... So, my... former roommate, like, his friends group goes to Fanime every year because one of them is someone who's, like, been volunteering for it for, like, a decade. Mm-hmm. And, like, every time they go, they bring back stuff from Artist Alley. And I just always wonder, like, are my tastes that different from theirs? Or do they just not have, like, as good of an Artist Alley as other places?
Oh, no. It has to be taste, because...
Okay.
Fanime has one of the best Artist Alleys for a small to mid-sized convention.
Really?
They have So for the way artist alleys work, in case you've never been to a convention or you don't know what they're about, this is kind of what this episode's for. There would be a part of the floor, usually a part of the floor that's tables just for artists. And artists will be there and they'll be selling art that they've already drawn, sketches, prints of things that they've drawn. And in some cases, actually in most cases, they'll be taking commissions. So you can go up to the artist, you can take a look at their prints, take a look at their style, see the kind of subjects they usually draw. And you can say, you know, I really like your work, but you don't have a, you don't have a drawing of Power Girl, and she's my favorite character, and I really like your style, and I notice that you like drawing superheroes, and I would love for you to draw Power Girl for me. And the artist will say, you know what, I can do that. $40, and I'll do, you know, a waist-up sketch of Power Girl, and you can take her home at the end of the day. You know, I got a list, you know, I've got these two in front of me, or in front of you, and then when I get to you, I'll draw that one, and I'll email you or something when it's done, you know? And so that's really awesome to be able to do. And you'll be able to find some bigger artists who will be willing to draw you something personally that you might not be able to find any other way. Like a couple years ago, Adam Hughes, who is a famous, famous cheesecake artist, not even cheesecake, he's just a famous comic book artist nowadays, he was at Big Wow when Big Wow was still a really small convention. And David and I have a friend named Brandon who happened to get a sketch from Adam Hughes. And Adam Hughes doesn't take sketches. He is too busy and has too much to draw. And Adam Hughes' original art usually runs in the hundreds of dollars. And I don't know how much Brandon paid him, if he did at all. He might have just been dicking around and had time. But because you catch a guy at a smaller convention, you kind of have the ability to do that. But I will say Fanime has a dedicated artist room. And it's big. It's almost as big as their vendor floor. There is every kind of art style out there. So I'm willing to bet, Jen, that your friends just have shitty taste.
Okay.
Because I found a couple artists. When I went to Fanime last year, I was looking for somebody to commission a really nice 11x17 or larger of Iroh from Avatar The Last Airbender. And I found somebody, and she's working on it still. It's big, and it's a big project that I have going for her, but it's going to look awesome. And I found her at Fanime in an artist alley, and I was like, I really want Iroh. I want it in this style because I really, really like your style, and I want something big to put on my wall. It's going to look awesome. And she was like, that's going to be a couple $100 and a few months. And I was like, I like you. Let's do it. But there's all different kinds of stuff there. There's also somebody who had these really awesome line of prints for One Piece at Fanime that I almost picked up. And then I realized that my wife doesn't watch One Piece, and it would be weird to just have these 13 posters up on the wall.
Wouldn't it be weird?
Maybe in the garage, my free space, the garage. So yeah, the artist alleys are definitely something to go check out. Even if you have no idea what makes good art or bad art, if you go to a convention and there's an artist area of any kind, just go and look. And don't be afraid to talk to the artists while they're working on something. Don't be afraid to just ask them, like, hey, so what kind of stuff do you normally do? Talk to them. That's what they're there for. If people have a table at a convention, they're there specifically to meet fans and talk to them. Or not even necessarily fans, just meet new people and talk to them. Like, one of my prized possessions, there's this artist who I think he was for the image booth, and I was there to have somebody else sign something, right? And I was waiting in line, and this line kind of wrapped around Image's area, and I was in front of a table, and this guy was just, like, doodling the fuck away. And I was like, hey, that looks pretty good. He was like, hey, thanks. And I was like, sorry, what's your name? I've never heard of you, but I like your work. And he was like, oh, this is my name. I don't even remember. He said, I have a stack of original art here. It's from this comic I did really quickly for a small publication. But they wanted me to do a comic book of Beowulf. And it's $10 a page. And so I was like, fuck yeah, I'll go through that. I love the shit out of me some Beowulf. And I bought like 3 or 4 pages of it. And now a couple years later, that artist, whose name I still don't remember, is a relatively well-known artist. And those pages are worth a whole lot more now. But I have Beowulf original art from that guy just because I happened to be fucking standing in line. But at the time, I had no idea who it was. And he was happy that he found somebody who enjoyed his work and wanted to buy some of it. And like, we both came away from that with a positive experience, even though all they did was like, what's your name? Sorry, I never heard of you. This is cool, though. Can I buy some? Like, that was the entirety of the experience. But it's perfectly fine to go do that when you're at an artist area. or at a convention at all, I would say. What about you, David? How many conventions have you been to? What's your favorite? What do you do?
So the big ones I've been to are WonderCon, San Diego Comic-Con, and Star Wars Celebration. But I've been to Big Wow a few times. I try to go at least once. I try to go at least one day a year at Big Wow because I want there to be conventions around here, so I'm trying to support it with my dollars.
Yep.
I've been to Fanime. That's pretty much it. I've been to when I was a kid, I went to like really random conventions. Like I went to a Star Trek convention.
Yeah, I'm going to one next year.
Well, that's not that random. I went to an X-Files convention when I was a kid.
They still have a ton of those every year.
Yeah. So I've been to like a couple random ones. I know there's like another one I've been to that was local. But anyways, yeah, I mean, and so probably my favorite part of conventions is the floor, just like you, Andy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, conventions are great because, you can go to events like Star Wars Celebration, which is very specific to one fandom, but then you can go to stuff like Big Wow or San Diego Comic Con, which is, you can find whatever flavor of geekdom you are into represented. So yeah, I really like going to conventions. If I could go to them all, I would. I just really like going to them because, you know, Even if it's only for like a few hours, like I think last time I went to Big Wow, I was only there for like 2 or 3 hours, but it was fun. You know, I walked the floor, found some deals, got some cool stuff. You know, I didn't even look at the panels for Big Wow, to be honest.
Yeah, they're still not that great. Next year, we should try and see if we can do a panel.
Like for our
Live recording. I'd be down for that.
Okay, I'm down.
But yeah, I'll say, like, I'm really excited about the newer emerging conventions that are doing really well, like Emerald City Comic Con, C2E2, which is the Chicago Comics and Entertainment Expo. There's a new one in Denver that's doing really well. Phoenix Comic Con is doing really well. Because a ton of people really, really want to go to San Diego Comic Con because that's where all the headlines happen. But you know what? 5 years ago, I would have told you San Diego Comic Con is the one to go to if you possibly can. Now I'm going to tell you, don't. There's too many people. It's too big. It's too much of a thing. And odds are, you're not going to get the experience you want. The panels you can watch on YouTube. And honestly, most of the stuff that you want to do, at San Diego Comic Con, you can get done at a smaller convention. The other thing San Diego Comic Con has going for it is that anything you could want is there. So you can get all of those things at other smaller conventions. You might just have to go to 2 or 3. At San Diego, they're all balled up into one. That's really the only plus, I would say, to San Diego Comic Con left these days. I would be way more excited to go to Emerald City or C2E2 or any of those. Yeah, so if you're anywhere near that stuff. New York Comic Con is also supposedly getting huge now. Huge. Like, rivaling San Diego in size. So that's good.
Well, it's being done by the people who do, who did Star Wars.
By Reed Pop?
Reed Pop, yeah.
Nice. They did a good job of Celebration, so.
Oh, Celebration was awesome.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do you guys have anything else you want to talk about with conventions, or?
I have a question.
All right, let's do it.
I have a million questions. What's your practical advice? Like, I'm one of those super, like, annoying, be prepared for everything people. What is your advice for, like, what to bring? Like, should I bring wads of cash if I go to one?
If you want to buy a lot of stuff, then yes, because there will be ATMs there. In fact, there will probably be a whole bank of, like, 20 ATMs in a row. Of course, there will be like a $4 ATM fee for that. So that's something to consider. So yeah, you want to bring like a bunch of cash, but don't bring too many because there's a lot of people. There's potential of people like pickpocketing. Not that I've ever experienced that or even really heard of it, but you know, I think that's just a thing that could happen.
And pretty much everybody has can take credit card nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah, nowadays, that's true. Because people, like, a lot of the booths just had a Square, you know, the app, Square app.
Yeah.
Going on, so.
I would also say bring a large bag or a carrier tube, if you're going for art, especially.
Yeah.
Odds are you're going to get a piece of art, and you're just going to have to walk around holding it.
Yeah, this, at Comic, or so, sorry, at Celebration, we, Andy and I ended up getting this print for free, like a Boba Fett print from playing a game with the 501st Legion. And I was like, man, and we got it like first thing at the beginning of the day. And I was like, shit, this thing is going to get all screwed up. But I found a booth that was selling like top loaders of all different sizes. So I ended up getting an 11x17 top loader to put all my art in, but that's not always going to be the case. So, you should definitely be prepared to store stuff.
Yeah. Bring a box. Odds are there's going to be some booth at one of these conventions that will sell that kind of thing. Maybe even more than one if it's a big enough convention. So you don't have to go super prepared. You don't need to go find a top loader before you go. You'll pay a little bit more buying it there. But still, you're going to want a bag big enough to put it in. I bring a nice large messenger bag that fits 8.5x11 stuff, no problem. If it's any bigger than that, I end up having to carry it. But that's not usually too big of a problem if it's bigger than that.
I always bring a backpack.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have what I call my con backpack, which is actually a backpack I bought at Comic-Con, and now I bring it to all the cons.
Because it matched the Blue Beetle.
Yeah, the first time I cosplayed, I bought a backpack to match my cosplay because I needed a backpack. Yeah. This year we kind of lucked out because the Kotobukiya booth gave us a comically large bag, like way too big for what we bought.
Yeah.
But it worked out for the best because I just kept filling it with stuff.
Yeah.
Which maybe, you know, subjective. My bank account probably didn't like being drained, but whatever.
Yeah. Hit us from another one, Jen. You got any more questions?
What is the coolest, like, non-planned thing? So, like, not a panel or, like, a trailer or something that you've ever seen at a con?
Ooh.
I don't know. It's going to be hard to think of just one thing.
I mean, I really love cosplay, and it's hard to guess what you're going to see convention to convention. You're going to see, there's some stuff you're going to see all the time, like Supergirl and Superman, Batman, and Iron Man. You're going to see a lot of that kind of stuff. But there's always going to be something totally different that just blows your mind. Like, there was, at Celebration, there was a friggin', like, Death Trooper, like, in super armor. Like, he was, like, two people wide. His armor was so massive. And it was crazy and awesome.
Or there was the risen Darth Maul.
Yeah.
That guy was really cool.
Like, with the new legs, like, the stilt legs, he was, like, the dude was, like, 12 feet tall, I swear to God.
Yeah.
Like, walking around the convention floor. Just something, because there are people who are into cosplay, and then the people who are into cosplay. And those people, man, it's amazing the shit that they do. It's just amazing. I love that.
Oh, one thing that you will probably encounter, there's always some people posted up outside the convention with giant signs telling you about how Jesus died for your sins.
Yes.
And then, so...
Idolaters.
But then there ends up always being like people who are like parodying the religious protester guys. So I remember at Comic-Con there was like Westboro Baptist Church one year, and then there were people like lined up with them that had signs that said like "Dark Side is."
What does God need with a starship?
Yeah, what does God do with the starship? from Star Trek V. That's a terrible movie.
That is amazing.
Or this time there were people with the signs that said, like, Jesus died for our sins, but there was a guy dressed up as a scout trooper, and he had a sign that said WWJD, But instead of saying, what would Jesus do, it said, why won't Jar Jar die?
Okay. I approve.
And people, like, try to take, like, sneaky pictures with the protesters. So, like, I have a picture of Andy standing next to the sign doing a thumbs up while the guy was looking in the other direction.
My wife scolded me pretty bad for that. She doesn't like when I mock people, but, you know.
You know, I'm not trying to put down religion, but it just seems so out of place at these conventions.
Yeah, let he who is without sin cast the first stone, and if you're out there picketing, then you're casting stones, and I'm sorry, but I don't agree with that interpretation of their religion.
Yeah. So yeah.
But that's me.
But for them, like, if there's a, you know, cons are lots of fun. You know, it's a lot of walking and standing in line, but it's totally worth it. If you have never been to a con, find one and go to it. Because they're great.
Yep. Any more questions, Jen? Give me another one.
Come on. Give me tips for... that's a statement. That's a demand. Give me tips for interacting with artists.
Andy and I went to WonderCon the last time I was in San Francisco. And Robert Kirkman was there. And this was right around the time Walking Dead, the show had, like, just started. Season one may have, I don't even know if season one had finished yet. And so there's a huge line to see Robert Kirkman. Of course, Andy and I are in the line, but not to get Walking Dead signed. We both wanted to get Invincible stuff signed.
Sweet.
And so my turn comes up, and I walk up to Robert Kirkman, and he's like, hey, how's it going? And I'm like, oh, hey. And I said something like, hey, your show is really cool. Signed my comic. And that was like, and I was like, oh, God. This is terrible.
I mean, that's fine. I would say just don't go up and do the, like, so in episode 5 of season 2, this thing happened, and it was not cotton. But, I mean, that's... general common sense. And I, Robert Kirkman's got a long line, and I'm sure he wants to sign everybody's comic. I'm sure he wants to be a bro. So in that case, a simple, like, walking up and saying, you know, I really like your work, this is my favorite thing, or like I told him, like, I wasn't interested in comics for a long time, and then somebody told me to try Invincible, and I tried it, and now I'm super hard going to comics again, and thank you for writing something that got me back into comics. And he said, oh, you're welcome, that's great, it's nice to hear that, and he signed my book, and I walked along. But right around the corner, there was Ryan Ottley, the guy who draws Invincible. And I was like, hey, I recognize you. Can you sign my comic? And he was like, yeah, sure, no problem. And he opened it, and because he's the artist, he drew a little doodle in there. And while he was doodling, I was like, I also follow you on DeviantArt. You got some pretty cool stuff there. He's like, yeah, that stuff I can't really publish anywhere because it's like, it's Invincible, like beating the shit out of everybody else. Like Wolverine, Superman, all getting beat to death by Invincible because he loves Invincible because he draws for it. And then we started talking about weird shit on DeviantArt and how you can go down the rabbit hole. And lucky for him, I hadn't seen Guy Gardner's balls yet, or we would have talked about Guy Gardner's balls. That's a conversation that you have with the artist. But the other interaction would be Artist Alley, which is a little bit different because odds are those are smaller artists that you haven't seen before. Most of them have prints. You can go up and you can say, you know, I really like this print. I really like this character or the show. I really like this about your art style. And they're just open to have a conversation because most of them are just sitting there all day drawing. A lot of them have somebody there helping them, like helping them do sales, helping them coordinate stuff, helping them with their inventory, all that kind of thing. But really, you can just go up and be like, hey, you know, I really like your work. And you can also be like, you know, I've never seen you at a convention before. I've never seen any of your work, but I really like your art style. Are you working on anything right now? Do you really do anything? Like the artist that I got last year's Fanime to do this Iroh commission for me that I mentioned earlier, she does a webcomic, and that's about it. And she's a student, and she doesn't have time for, like, an actual art job yet, but that's what she hopes to get. And until then, this is how she helps pay rent, is by, like, doing commissions and selling her prints and stuff like that. And so it was really neat to talk to her and get to know her style and find out about her webcomic. And her webcomic's actually pretty good for having written it herself as an artist.
What is it?
Above the Clouds is what it's called, Above the Clouds. And her name is... something with a P. Pugliassi or something like that. I don't think I could pronounce it. I definitely couldn't pronounce it. But it's really totally acceptable to just go up and just say what you like about the artist, or, you know, say, this is a really cool style, I really like, or even just like, hey, I really like One Piece too. I really like One Piece, and that looks cool. You know, if it's a cool artist and you want to strike up a conversation, just strike it on it. Got another?
What is, like, the shittiest thing about cons?
It's the smell.
Cons. Yep. Fat, sweaty people. Tons of them in a room together. Also, sick. If it's a big enough convention, you're going to get sick. You're just going to.
Fun.
There's too many people in too small of a space, and you're going to get sick. It's going to happen.
You should just wear one of those masks like they do in Japan.
There are people doing that. I saw that this last weekend.
It won't necessarily happen at a smaller thing like Fanime, but if you come back from Celebration, you're almost definitely going to get sick with something. Somehow.
I call it con crud.
Con crud. Yep, that's the official term.
Official term.
Yes, it is. I mean, there's other bad things that happens at con. The big thing happening right now is the cosplay is not consent. Cosplayers have a big problem with nerds who don't understand boundaries or nerds who don't respect the limits, especially of female cosplayers, and don't respect women's bodies or their rights, and just take pictures that they shouldn't take, do things that they shouldn't do, and think it's okay because it's cosplay, or think it's okay because it's a convention, or think it's okay because, hey, you're dressed as Cammy, so you want this. But that's the same thing as saying that she was dressed that way and she deserved it, or she was asking for it. And that's a big problem these days. And you know you're at a good convention if you go and you see a sign that says, if you see a big sign that says cosplay is not consent, or see a big sign that has an anti-harassment policy on it, you know you're at a good convention who realizes that it's a problem and doesn't have any tolerance for that shit. That's when you know you're at a decent convention. Big WoW has that going on in San Jose. So if you're in the Bay Area, go to Big WoW, because they have that shit.
Star Wars Celebration had it too.
Yeah, you walk in, the first thing you see is anti-harassment policy. If you take a picture up a woman's skirt because she's in cosplay, your badge is going to get taken away. Don't do that shit.
Honestly, if you're the kind of person who's like going to grope a stranger just because they're in costume, you're not groping them because they're in costume. You're the kind of person who would grope a stranger. That makes you crappy.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Ooh, did you guys hear about the whole Calgary con controversy?
No, I've seen lots of good cosplay pictures coming out of that, but I haven't heard anything but a controversy.
This one was about harassment, but it wasn't cosplay, it was Gamergate.
Gamergate.
It's about ethics and gaming journalism. God,
the worst people.
You know, that... I don't like anyone on either fucking side of that. But I guess at Calgary, what happened was a group of people who... They identify as MRAs, but if you actually listen to them talk, they're, I think, doing it to be fairly asinine because their views tend to be more egalitarian. It's not like... oh, you know, women are lesser kind of bullshit. It's more like men and women are equal, which is the idea behind feminism as well. But they, I guess, were kicked out for harassment because they were selling Gamergate stuff. And a bunch of people said it was because they were, like, harassing people at a panel about feminism in comics. But then I watched the whole panel, and, like, the lady invited them to speak, and they talked a little and didn't say anything else, so. Yeah. I don't know. I just, like, it's coming up in all of my newsfeed stuff.
You know what? Fuck them. Good on Calgary. You're Gamergate. We who run the convention know that that's shitty. We're gonna kick you out.
don't know. I don't necessarily agree with that. But
I agree with that. There's freedom of speech.
They weren't official Gamergate people. They just, like, they had Gamergate shirts for sale or something.
Yeah, you're a Gamergate. You're leaving. I'm sorry. The right to refuse service. I'm fine with that. Like, I'm on Calgary's side there. If we're going to talk about it at all. Like, it's a sign on your shirt saying, I don't respect women in a way that I think is rational. But at the end of the day, I don't respect women, and I'm wearing a shirt that says that. I don't want you at my convention. Calgary Comic Con's probably not run by the state of Calgary. Or city of Calgary, whatever the fuck, some fucking thing up in Canada.
Apparently, if you get banned from it, like, they ban you from the rest of Canadian conventions, too. So you're just, like, Canada banned.
Good. Oh, Toronto. I want to go to Toronto's Comic Con, too. That's supposed to be good. Well, do you guys think we have time for trivia?
No. I don't know. We've been talking for a long time.
Yeah.
This is kind of like a very special episode.
A very, very special episode. Yeah, we'll skip trivia. We all have questions lined up for each other. Remember them for next week. Remember.
Yeah, and listeners, you know, if you have a favorite convention moment or advice for Jen about going to cons or want to talk about your local con, you know, post on our Facebook page or whatever.
Yeah, facebook.com/welcometocomics. Tweet at me, twitter.com/welcometocomics. If you want to just mail us straight up because you don't want to make it public, welcometocomics.com. On the left, there's a button that says contact.
We'd love to hear from you.
Just sends us an email. It's easy. Do it right from the webpage. All right. I guess that's it for this week then.
Yep.
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 Yep. Next week, we're reading Multiversity by Grant Morrison. We're really doing it. I checked.
Are we? Are we really?
Next week. A week from today, exactly. A week from recording today. Multiversity number 2, which is the 9th comic in Multiversity, the final comic, comes out. So we're going to get it done. It's going to happen. I swear to God, next week is Multiversity. And until then, everybody, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.